have to stand here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of these stations. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, this evening, why, if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have with us this evening our very good friend Bill Sardi. We're going to be talking about health issues. And Bill is a health columnist. He studies the medical literature, writes articles. You'll find them quoted in articles across the country. He appears on radio very, very frequently. But tonight we're going to be talking about an amazing, amazing new discovery that will impact on the lives of everybody listening to the program. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Great to be with you, and we do have an exciting report tonight.
Well, let's. I'll just turn it over to you, and you run with it.
Well, Chris, as we maybe for those who study the news headlines, we see from CNN, study shows red wine molecule may extend life. It says New York Times, study spurs hope of finding a way to increase the human lifespan. What are these stories about? They began about 3 or 4 weeks ago when a young researcher at Harvard Medical School, Dr. David Sinclair, who I went to visit just about 10 days ago, announced that they have found a conclusive way of turning a switch on that would make it possible for humans to live another 50 years on average, increase their lifespan by about 70%. And of course, this shook up the world, headlines almost everywhere, and of course, every major news organization has been in there, of course, to interview him regarding this story. And it's remarkable because it's linked to the wonderful revelations of the Bible. We're going to get into that in this extended program this evening. I have never seen a time in my life when all of the scriptures in the Bible are being confirmed in regards to health and longevity. And of course, what Dr. Sinclair was talking about really spurred from the finding back in the 1930s. They became aware that if you starved any organism, if you brought it to near starvation, doesn't matter whether it's insects or animals or humans, that those organisms would live much longer. That's been known since the 1930s. And of course, how does that confirm the Bible? Well, of course, we look back and we understand that the Bible talked about fasting. Here I have an Associated Press story of earlier this year, April 29, saying that fasting can be good for your health, says a study. And it goes on to report this as we know it. Well, of course, the prospect of starving ourselves to live long has not been a marketable idea, but it's given researchers at Harvard and elsewhere an idea of what the mechanism might be for living longer. And, of course, we even have in the Bible the recorded accounts of people living for hundreds of years. How is that possible? We're going to go into more of that regarding vitamin C and so on a little later. But this discovery, this time around, had something to do with a survival gene that's located in our cells, it's located in the human body as well as every living organism. And there is a survival switch, and what they found was when you starve any organism and it doesn't get enough calories, then a certain genetic switch is turned on, an enzyme is produced, and it gives that cell, that challenged and stressed out cell, more time to repair its DNA genetic material. And from that, they were able to find out that that genetic switch, as the cells find, as they're subjected to either a lack of food or radiation from sun, or doesn't matter what it is, plants, animals, insects, then of course they're threatened, and the amount of vitamin B3 or niacin is reduced in those organisms, and therefore that's the switch that turns on the survival gene and says, uh-oh, we're in trouble. We better come to the aid of this cell or it's going to die. And so as we get more niacin, in other words, as we get more food, it turns that switch off, and so our survival switch is off. However, they also found, and this is the recent study, is that in Nature magazine, is that they found that there is also a dietary switch that turns this survival gene on. And if you turn it on, it becomes not only a survival gene, but a longevity gene, because it gives our cells more time to repair themselves. And therefore, what they found, they did a library study of all the molecules they have in giant libraries of molecules. These are done by genetic groups and companies and so on. They came up with 17 compounds that they thought would turn this gene on. They studied the 17. Turns out that a molecule called resveratrol found in red wine is the molecule that would turn on the survival or longevity switch in our genes and cause us to live longer. Of course, we know the Bible talked about wine and all of this. The magic of it all is it not only confirms the Bible, but it does show us that there are mechanisms within humans to live much longer and much healthier, I might say. And it's a remarkable story, if only to contemplate that just 3 to 5 milligrams of this molecule called resveratrol that we find in red wine, just that small amount has been shown to do this. They diluted this molecule by a million times in the laboratory. It still worked. In the medical literature, this resveratrol molecule, this red wine molecule, has been shown to elevate the levels of HDL, good cholesterol. It blocks cancer at every point where cancer gets started. DNA mutation, it repairs that. Angiogenesis, the formation of abnormal new blood vessels, it feeds tumors, it stops that. Metastasis, that's the spreading of tumors, that's why what we die of when we have cancer, it stops that by thinning the blood and stopping the sticky blood platelets that then form and causes all that. And it stops the signals, that is the cell signals for one tumor cell to become another. And of course, it stops what we call apoptosis, or that is causes the tumor cells to actually die. I don't know whether people know this or not, but cancer cells are really immortal and they never die. And this resveratrol substance makes them die off. This resveratrol molecule from red wine has been shown to protect brain cells, prevent Alzheimer's disease, reduce inflammation, lower PSA counts in males in their prostate gland, prevents hypertension, prevents blood clots, would cure AIDS. I have a paper here on my desk. Resveratrol, a remarkable inhibitor of ribonucleotide reductase. Boy, that's a long title for a paper, but that's exactly what the AIDS drugs are doing. So it's remarkable what this one molecule would do, and maybe it would do it with just such a low dose. Just 1 5-ounce glass of red wine would do this. I know I'm bringing all kinds of questions to people's minds of why winos and people who drink a lot don't live for hundreds of years. It's remarkable they do live, isn't it? For all the abuse that they have. The alcohol component, even though there are some healthy aspects of it, obviously the alcohol component is harmful to the liver, builds iron overload and so on. But the red pigment part of wine, and this is what happens, is in a bottle of wine, I don't know whether we realize when we go to the health food store and we, of course, buy herbal extracts, we're buying alcohol extracts. That's how you extract the herbs of whether it's ginkgo or ginseng or whatever, that's how they're extracted. And that's exactly what a bottle of wine doing is. It's an alcohol extract of the skin of the grape where the resveratrol is found. It extracts it out. In 2 days, the resveratrol would be destroyed due to oxidation and mixing with oxygen. But in a bottle of wine, it's kept in liquid. It's kept from the air. They nitrogen flush the bottles, and of course, we're able to get it freshly delivered to us. Unfortunately, there are pills on the market that have resveratrol in them, But unfortunately, all of those tested so far either don't have any resveratrol or have an inactive or used up form. So Dr. Sinclair, David Sinclair from Harvard, is eager to do is work with researchers to develop a pill that would make all this possible without the alcohol component. But for right now, it looks like a glass of wine would meet the qualifications of what they're looking for. It would provide about 3 to 5 milligrams of this resveratrol in an active form. Grape juice doesn't do it because of the way they process it. Raisins won't do it because it's exposed to the sun and the drying process, which destroys it. You might get a little resveratrol if you eat grapes, but it would be a very, very small amount. So there's a little bit in peanuts, but that's very small. 10 times less resveratrol in white wine versus red wine. So I'm trying to answer all those questions that come to people's minds as they search for a way to get this, of course, without the alcohol component. But for right now, it looks like the best way we know of doing this is just a glass of red wine in moderation, of course. And it all becomes part of what we call the Mediterranean diet as we've been going along and doing medical research work, and it's been in the New England Journal of Medicine and elsewhere now, as many stories realizing that the total combination of these foods that they ate in the Mediterranean diet, which in our modern time we call the Mediterranean diet, in a few years back we called it simply the Bible diet, because this is what they ate during Bible times, and of course a mixed diet of fish and olives, which has a little resveratrol in it, by the way, and all of these wonderful high antioxidant foods and so on, seems to be able to extend life in an unusual way. And of course, this is an answer for the French paradox. Frequently they've questioned and scratched their heads as to why the French have 30% fewer heart attacks and so on, and even though they eat a lot of fatty foods and so on. But they do drink wine, they do drink a lot of red wine, and of course this, they believe, is part of the explanation for what they call the French paradox. So as I was in Dr. Sinclair's office at his headquarters and laboratory there in Boston, and I asked him, well, what would we possibly do if we were going to live 125 years? And will we have any quality of our life? Of course, I was explaining all these diseases that this resveratrol molecule cures or remedies, because it deals with a very healing nature, and the time that cells have to heal, it prolongs that time. So it's almost a cure-all for everything. And I asked him, well, what would we do with a world filled with millions of people who would live that long? Wouldn't we run out of food and so on? And he said, well, you know, we need to put these discoveries into practice and deal with the after effects as they occur. He says, imagine what would have occurred when penicillin was discovered if the same thing had been said. That we just can't say it that way, that we need to move on and progress. And actually, I have a paper here on my desk from the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry of this year, and it shows that actually resveratrol would solve the food shortage problem we're talking about, as well as extend human life, because resveratrol is a molecule that gets upregulated and produced in greater abundance in grapes and other foods as they're exposed to funguses. It's an antifungal molecule. And so, therefore, grapes get redder and so on as they're exposed to more sun. They're exposed to more humid climates. In fact, the best wine to get are the wines grown in northern areas where it's more moist and humid, like Oregon, Washington, New York. The best type of grape to get wine from is Pinot Noir, because it seems to have more of the resveratrol. But what this article is showing in the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry is they took apples, and they harvested them and then dipped them in this resveratrol molecule and then let them stand out on a counter at room temperature for 7 weeks, along with apples that, of course, weren't dipped. At the end of 7 weeks, the undipped apples were shriveled up, had fungus on them, brown, and the other apples were perfect, just like they had started, without refrigeration, without anything else. You could put them in your hand and eat them. The taste was still there. So this would possibly increase the world food supplies by more than 30% without refrigeration if we learned how to use this molecule. So It's a remarkable story. It's a word that we haven't had in our household, resveratrol, but it's this wonderful molecule that you'll be hearing more about. And, of course, remarkably, all the story is coming from Harvard Medical School with all of the wonderful authority they have to speak out and say this molecule is for real.
Well, that is an amazing, amazing story. You know, and of course, as you contemplate the implications of this. Now, let's talk a little bit about the sort of experiments they've done to show that this really does work.
Well, of course, their studies were done in the, what they were reporting on were the yeast cells, and they took yeast cells and they lived 70% longer. But, of course, Dr. Sinclair is able to tell me of studies that are unpublished but completed. And what they have shown is this 70% expansion in life has also been duplicated in fruit flies. It's been, of course, duplicated in worms and in mice. Now, they take animals and organisms that live a short amount of time. Obviously, in humans, we'd need to go by 125 years before we could measure where this works, so how well this works. So, but the, of course, the jump to humans, as Dr. Sinclair explained it to me, is very small because, as we understand it, the same gene that does all this in the yeast and the worms and the fruit flies and so on is located in humans. It's the same gene. It does the same thing. We have the same mechanism in our bodies, and we do know at times, for instance, going back to Bible times of the Jewish people when they were, of course, deprived of abundant food when they were in the desert in the Sinai after, of course, being in captivity and so on in Egypt, and then 40 years of wandering in the desert, they were sparse food supply. The Bible says they ate something called manna. But, of course, their health would have improved. They would have been turning that gene switch on to survive during that time. We found in World War II, for instance, in Britain, when food supplies were sparse, the disease rate went way down, so and the death rates went down. So you see, just a adequate supply of food seems to upregulate and turn this little light bulb on that makes an enzyme and then gives our cells a chance to repair themselves a prolonged time and do this. So the research is believed to be valid. This is all of the way they study aging and in modern laboratories across the world, and they believe this is real, that it really works. They can see that switch turn on in human cells and that enzyme get produced, and it's more activity. It's not more of the enzyme, it's just it's more active. And so they know that all of this is working in humans just like it has in the animals and insects and so on. So they're very enthusiastic about it. I know a presentation was made by Dr. Sinclair in Washington, D.C., before the National Institutes of Health, and it was, of course, welcomed there this past week. So very, very prestigious organizations are recognizing that this is for real, and, of course, it's coming from Harvard and other researchers, Massachusetts Institute of Technology and so on, all involved in this kind of aging research. The Bible told us that man lived for hundreds of years. There's obviously mechanisms here for doing that, and, of course, we're just tapping into some of them.
And, of course, this is really entirely new. We've known for many, many years, of course, that people who drank wine, they'd always say, we're just taking this for health purposes, and a small amount of wine is all you really need, and yet can improve your health, as they've known in Europe for many, many years. We seem to have forgotten much of that here, and certainly excessive use of wine is a problem, but used properly, why this certainly can be medicinal. Well, we'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, Bill Sardi. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest this evening is Bill Sardi, who really is a health journalist who studies these matters. How long have you been at this, Bill, full-time?
Well, almost 20 years now. Of course, it took getting to age 40 and understanding when you hit 40, you hit the wall and you start aging much faster. And that's when I began an aggressive study of nutrition and prevention and so on. Up to that time, I'd been doing other things in healthcare. But we've enjoyed the ride, and of course, every day we learn something new.
Really, the information is just expanding so rapidly, and with the internet and all the availability of getting the papers from all throughout the world to see what scientists are doing, and lots of scientists really are working on the same problem, aren't they? Of course,
this idea
of prolonging our lives has always been something that's intrigued man, because we're told in the Bible that Methuselah lived 900 years, and certainly Noah lived a tremendously long time.
Well, and of course, I think people believe that the Bible is some sort of a fairy tale book, and all of this couldn't be true. And I know Christians with pastors not able to explain why or how people lived for hundreds of years. How could that be true? Well, things were different during Bible times in those early Bible days. There may have been a mechanism with greater infant mortality and so on that humans actually did live longer, in order to start the human populations as they did. And of course, we do know, and we are aware now, that humans at one time in the past used to produce their own vitamin C in their own body. Now we have to get it entirely from the diet. But again here, the researchers have uncovered that there is a little gene in our body there that makes enzymes, and we need four of these little enzymes, and we would convert all the blood sugar in our body to vitamin C. One of those enzymes is missing. The gene is defective. It's called a pseudogene. And so, therefore, humans no longer make vitamin C. Now, we know that animals, most of them, still do make vitamin C. The cows, the dogs, the cats, and billy goats, they all make vitamin C. There's a few species of monkeys and a couple of fruit bats and some guinea pigs that don't make their own vitamin C and have the same genetic defect. But they've taken the enzyme that would be made and injected it in humans, and it turns our blood sugar into vitamin C. That's how you make vitamin C for the vitamin C tablets that you buy. You take enzymes, mix them with, in this case, corn syrup, sugar, and that's how you make vitamin C. So they've done it in humans, injected the enzyme in, it does that. They've taken the little gene from this that produces this little enzyme, and then they've taken and implanted it in the fish eggs, and the offspring of the fish eggs, then the offspring, of course, produce their own vitamin C. So you're starting to catch on here that if they did the same thing in humans in the same experiment, we would have offspring that would make their own vitamin C. And they believe that if that gene could be restored in humans, that we would go back to living hundreds of years as it has been proclaimed in the Bible. How do we know that? Well, animals don't live for hundreds of years, but they live 8 to 12 times beyond their age of physical maturation. That is, humans mature at age 18, and of course we die off at about 2 to 3 and a half times that age. Somewhere between 40 and 65 or 70 is when most humans, that's the life expectancy. But animals live 8 to 12 times. Now, take 12 times.
Hold that thought. We're going to have to bring our guests back up north.
You bet.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest Bill Sardi, and we're talking, of course, about how animals really live relative to their age of maturation much longer than human beings. Bill was saying that humans live maybe 3.5, 4 times of their date of maturation, maybe 2 to 3.5 times, whereas animals live what, up to 12 times of their maturation age?
That's correct, and of course, if we took 12 times 18, the age when we physically mature, you're talking a couple of hundred years nearly there. Well, all of a sudden, the discussion shifted to hundreds of years, didn't it? I want you to see that, and it's possible if humans were making their own vitamin C, they would actually mature at a different age, much maybe at age 40 or so. We do know that there are large human skeletons found. Of course, the researchers across the world that believe in Darwinian evolution they hide these skeletons from us, but there are large human skeletons of men and women 8, 10, and 12 feet. And, of course, that would mean they had a longer maturation period. Their bones grew for a longer period of time. Those have been hidden from us by the paleontologists, which would follow all part of this whole story as to the fact that man was much bigger. There was a story today about the various animals in the world that lived a long time ago were much larger. Yes, they were. Things were different. Not only the environment on the Earth was different, but, of course, we do know that man's system was different. He made his own vitamin C, and this would greatly explain the longevity, the super longevity that we see in the Bible. By the way, we do read in the Bible that Methuselah, Noah, and Adam lived over 900 years, and then all of a sudden, somewhere around the age of the time of the flood, Noah's flood, we see then there after the flood, the lifespan goes down to 600 and then 400. As you read it on through, Abraham was, I think, 175 years or so. Moses was 120. And this goes on down. It's a progressive gene mutation. You can see it from that point on. And, of course, what would have caused this? Of course, a bottleneck in what we call the gene pool, the human gene pool. There would have maybe been only a few humans, and then one gene mutation would have been transferred to all. And, of course, the Bible story says there were only 8 people on the planet when, of course, Noah's flood occurred. It was all that one family, and it's possible a genetic mutation there then occurred and then was transferred to the rest of humanity thereafter, and that's how we lost our ability to make vitamin C in the human lifespan. Therefore, that was a gene mutation that progressed, and of course, at one time, man would have been able to travel all the way around the Earth on a boat and never get scurvy. Today, of course, we have to pack some limes or oranges or something if we're going to be on a long trip somewhere. So man needs to get his vitamin C from outside sources. A study here done a few years ago at UCLA shows that if we just add and take 300 milligrams of vitamin C in our diet and supplements a day. Now, the diet provides about 110 milligrams. You'd need to get 300 milligrams of vitamin C. You need to eat 6 oranges a day. So it's a little hard, so you may need to rely on vitamin pills. But 300 milligrams of vitamin C a day would add 6 years to the human lifespan. So this all follows Linus Pauling and his wonderful thoughts about vitamin C. And, of course, he said the body used to make vitamin C. He was really telling us the Bible story at the time. It was just not linked up. And, of course, as he was indicating, we need to chew on vitamin C through the day and get vitamin C-rich foods because that's your body used to make a little bit on the hour as we lived. So, and as we are under more stress, the body would make more vitamin C. I don't think we realize that as we're stressed or threatened by something, the sugar stores in our body are released, and then, of course, the sugar would pass through the liver. The enzymes would get it and make more vitamin C. Of course, we've lost the ability to do that now, and that's why mankind is, of course, very vulnerable to stress. You can see animals in the wild, and they're living under very stressful conditions, but they seem to handle it quite well, and that's because they do make their own vitamin C. But I'm saying to you, if the audience is listening carefully, is the Bible descriptions of longevity are not far-fetched at all. There was a mechanism for man to live much longer in the past.
Well, of course, there's really so much to study here and to understand, and of course, it's up to the individual to be responsible for their health. So we're going to be back here in just a moment. We'll open our lines at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'll tell you how to get in touch with Bill if you'd like to and how to get to his website. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. And Bill, why don't we tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to get more information?
Of course, there's a wonderful website. I like to think it's wonderful because everything there is free. It's at askbillsardi.com. That's S-A-R-D-I. And we have wonderful reports there about hormone replacement therapy for women, a three-part cholesterol report, a whole book you can download on the collapse of conventional medicine, and lots of other good advice about autism or many other health issues, including longevity and vitamin C, and of course many things about the attack on vitamins and so on. And you can find a link there. I don't like to sell books. I like to give away information, but for people who like to learn more, I do have some books at a website you can link to there. And of course, we keep them off my site because I don't like selling things all the time right out in front of people. I think they like to get something. After all, people are needy. They have health problems. But I've written some wonderful books.
I like that one, The Power of Healing, The Power of God.
The Power of Healing, The Power of God is, of course, one a wonderful book for Christians to read about the history of healing. And of course, many of the scriptures from the Bible explain. And, of course, we have a book, The Iron Time Bomb, all about how iron, affects disease and longevity. And we have a newer book, How to Live 100 Years Without Growing Old. It's a wonderful story. And my newest book on vitamins and minerals, The New Truth About Vitamins and Minerals, if you're trying to sort out things about vitamins, which multivitamins to take and so on, that's a newer book. And, of course, a wonderful short book, about 80 pages long, a new book for me. I wrote 5 books in the past year, and that is The Bible Prescription for Health and Longevity. And that is a wonderful little book. It explains many of the things that I'm telling you tonight. Of course, we'll tell you a few more tips from there about some wonderful things that are revealed in the Bible and how accurate the Bible was. But as a health guide, it certainly is now being revealed as a wonderful guide as we really realize the science is coming back to confirm many of the things in the Bible. Now, for all of you listeners, there's a little plug here, but I want to say the word free, because if you'd like to get a free copy of my book, The Bible Prescription for Health and Longevity, yes, I said free, there's a wonderful company. There's a new dietary supplement company that I've been consulting with, Health at Home Nutrition, and they have a wonderful little formula called the Wellness Longevity Formula. Takes all these things that are incorporated in the Mediterranean diet and puts them all in one formula. It has the vitamin C, and it has the whole grains and the antioxidants and pomegranates and figs and grapes and all these wonderful things we talk about, along with garlic and hyssop and oregano and so on. We'll talk about more of those in a minute, but if folks that are listening are interested in purchasing the Wellness Longevity Formula from Health at Home Nutrition, Health at Home is going to offer you a free copy of my book. So you can go to my website and buy the book, or you can get it free. The number for the Wellness Longevity Formula, 866-405-4000. You all get a free book, 866-405-4000, and you need to order that Wellness Longevity Formula. But now, you know, these are just wonderful things. We do like to give them away. We do like to give information to people. We know a lot of people are on a limited budget. So it's my heart, and I believe God has talked to me to really get information to people as they need it. And, of course, it's important that we do that because part of this becomes ministry as much as it is business. And so it's important that we serve people and set a good example. And, of course, that's the idea.
And, of course, they can go to your website at askbillsardi.com. It's a great website, all sorts of great information there.
Thank you.
All right, fine. Well, of course, you were mentioning some of these things, the garlic, and of course, this is something that's been known for years. Of course, a lot of people think that it keeps witches and goblins away, but garlic really has wonderful medicinal properties, doesn't it?
Well, and it's mentioned in the Bible, and I'm going to tell you that, you know, in the Bible it says to add the bitter spices to your foods in 2 or 3 places in scriptures in the Bible. What did that mean? Well, what it means is there are hundreds of millions of cases of food poisoning in the world, quite a few million, I think 76 million of them in the United States every year. Imagine this. We let foods poison us, and then we run to the doctor for the antibiotics. And, of course, this isn't the way to do it. God's plan was that we would put the bitter spices like garlic, like oregano, like olive leaf, like what we find in onions, and put those bitter herbs and spices in our foods, and it would kill the bugs. You know that we're learning that the antibiotics aren't working. The little bugs in our foods and elsewhere are resisting because these are man-made molecules. The penicillins and the streptomycins and the adriamycins are all failing. Sooner or later, mankind will be threatened with extinction unless he learns how to use natural, God-given, God-made antibiotics. And these are oregano, garlic, allspice, onion, these wonderful, the Bible talked about one hyssop, which is a little herb that is an antibiotic spice again. And, of course, they're all outlined in the Bible. They said mix the bitter herbs in with the food. So, therefore, we would prevent this. There was some research done at Cornell University, and they showed where societies mix those bitter herbs in, they have a far less infectious disease. The one particular infectious little bug called H. pylori, 50% of Americans have, and that's the little bug that causes ulcers and stomach cancer. So, you see, here again, a principle in the Bible was overlooked. In fact, we're learning a lot about cleaning our foods these days, that we need to cleanse our foods. There may be a little E. coli on our food here somewhere. So, how do we clean our food? Do we wash our food? What is the best thing to wash it in? Well, according to the latest research, a Journal of Food Protection, it shows that vinegar is more effective in killing E. coli than bleach or Clorox or other substances. In fact, it's vinegar, just a little bit of it and some water, and you can cleanse your foods in that. Of course, it was the Bible that said, eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in vinegar. Ruth, the second chapter.
Let's go to John, who's calling us here from Post Falls, Washington. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Hi there. I'm doing quite well. Bill, you mentioned earlier about the longevity genes. And for those folks that maybe are a little hesitant about going with the resveratrol from red wine, I think Dr. Roy Walford's research has shown rather convincingly that some of those benefits as far as switching on those genes can be achieved through caloric restriction.
Yes.
That's correct. That's correct. And we can diet. The problem is it's a near starvation diet to do it. And, of course, it's not a very marketable thing when you're talking about people taking away one of the big rewards in their life is to sit down and eat. But, of course, it's important that we're not gluttons, that we do not overeat and all that. But this was only achieved, and Roy Walford, of course, was kind of a new age guy, but he did go on some little, what was that little thing they went in Arizona? And
biosphere.
Yeah, the biosphere. That's the word I wanted to say. And of course, he did at that time restrict his diet severely to see if this would work. So,
I'm not sure that has to be true, though, because a lot of that aspect is controlling insulin and its effects. And if people would fully understand the glycogen-insulin axis, a lot can be achieved by simply keeping insulin on a very, very short leash. And I know Dr. Perricone has said that the importance of alpha-lipoic acid cannot be overstated. And I completely agree with that because, as you know, it strengthens the vitamin C, vitamin E metabolism, and it really holds insulin.
Right. For our listeners, alpha-lipoic acid is a little substance that your body makes. It's available as a food supplement. They use it in Europe, of course, to control diabetes and blood sugar. And, of course, that's what our caller is talking about here. I think one of the other interesting things about calorie restriction that's overlooked, we're looking at the blood sugar side, but when you don't eat as much or you fast, you don't get as much iron. And it's iron that is the controller of life. We hear that we see the story in the Bible where Moses, at age 80, fasted for 40 days and then lived another 40 years. So by controlling the iron, you see, women have half the iron levels of men, because they dump it once a month in menstruation, 80% of the iron found in the blood circulation. So anytime we cut back on food, we cut back on our iron consumption. Iron grows bacteria, viruses, funguses. It encourages the growth of tumor cells. It's a growth factor. So when we limit iron, women live 8 to 20 years longer than men simply because they have lower levels of iron than men. As soon as women go into menopause, then they start building up iron and have the same rate of disease as men. At age 40, women have half the iron levels of a man and half the rates of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and rates of infection. So again, looking at the iron side of the equation, and by the way, somebody might ask, well, is that in the Bible? Is that control of iron mentioned in the Bible? It sure is, because here it is in the book of Exodus, 23rd chapter, Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, says, thou shalt not seethe a kid in its mother's milk. What does that mean? Well, what it's talking about is not mixing meat with milk. Well, it turns out meat has highly absorbable iron. Milk blocks the absorption of iron. What they're talking about is a child, when it's growing, needs iron to grow. That's when you need the growth factors. And of course, so therefore it's saying in the Bible, when mothers are feeding and nursing their children, you give them the milk, but don't give them the meat with it at the same time. So the child will grow, otherwise it'll inhibit. If you just have a hamburger with a milkshake, it'll reduce the absorption of iron by 50%. So the Bible knew this long ago. Now, they couldn't tell us it was all of these minerals, but somehow God gave them the provision and the insight to say these things. We like to think as Christians that that inspired word of God. Well, it certainly had to be in some way, because they didn't know all the details of it till now. So this was even mentioned in the Bible, of course, quite a few thousand years ago.
Okay, John, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, yeah, very quickly, your points, Bill, are very well taken. I would add to that, too, that they talked about the corpuscular drainage. Anything that wasn't fully drained was not kosher.
Right.
So that's also there. But I know, Alpha, getting back to lipoic just for a second, it used to be fantastically expensive, and it is amazing now. At my local Walmart, it's like $6 a bottle, and I cannot think of better health insurance for the money. So they better bang for the buck.
Thanks again, so much for calling, John.
Lipoic. John had a good point. Lipoic acid, a wonderful food supplement, and again, that's a sulfur compound. I know many of the water springs around the world have sulfur. Now, people used to go to sulfur springs and gulp down some rather nasty smelling sulfur water to get well, and of course, it's sulfur that is the king here, so sometimes a missing mineral we never hear about.
All right, let's go. There's somebody named Barbara on the line. Hi, Barbara.
Good evening. I'm really enjoying the program with Bill. But the one interesting thing we were talking about was the vinegar.
Yes.
And it was fascinating when we lived in South Africa for a couple of years. And we had a Bantu maid, and she would help to prepare the food. And whenever she had chicken or beef or any meats at all, she always washed them with vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
That was a standard practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really quite understood, you know, what it was. But obviously, they knew something that we did not.
Well, it turns out that vinegar is very powerful. Like I say, it beats Clorox, if we can think of ever putting our food in Clorox. But we're really going against God's prescriptions and laws, because in the Bible, in numerous locations, it explains that God instructed us to feed the animals on grass. It says, I will send grass into thy fields for thy cattle in the book of Deuteronomy. And so it says grass-fed animals. Well, we don't grass-feed our animals anymore. We grain-feed them largely. And once we do that, we change the pH, or the acidity and alkalinity, in their digestive tract. And now their digestive tract grows E. coli, this little bug. Then we give them antibiotics. They develop mutated strains of E. coli. And then we get their meat from those domesticated animals, we eat it, and it has E. coli in it, and that's why we're getting E. coli infections today, when our relatives that were grandmothers and grandfathers, it was never in their meat before, because the meat was largely grass-fed. So, again, we're kind of violating one of the little pieces of advice that God gave us, which is to grass-feed our meat, and now we have all these infections. But even then, they did say in the Bible to use and cleanse your food before you eat it. Kosher meant clean. That's what the word means. So they would clean their house and clean their food. And, of course, they didn't know what germs were. But then you ask yourself, because in the Bible it explains when they came back from war, they burned their clothes and they cleansed all their war instruments with hyssop. which is a natural antibiotic. So you see, they knew that something was there. They just couldn't see it through microscopes till in the 1600s when microscopes were developed.
It's just fascinating that cultures that we, you know, don't think of as being, you know, all, you know, being up on the latest technology, really had an understanding of what needed to be done. And this was like almost 30 years ago, and possibly that beef was still grass-fed, but that the thought that they needed to cleanse it with the vinegar at that time was still there.
Well, the life expectancy in the United States has gone, obviously, from the beginning of the last century, 1900s, the life expectancy was around 40 or 50 years, and now obviously it's gone up to 75 years and above. And the way that we did that in this country was to have the Pure Food and Drug Act in 1906. We have the Pure Food and Drug Act of the Bible in 1000 B.C. It's all explained in the book of Leviticus and so on. It's even earlier than 1000 B.C., but that was the Pure Food and Drug Act of that time. Later on, we cleansed our water by chlorinating water in 1913. They cleansed their water religiously in the Bible, and were only to drink it from deep wells and springs and not from surface waters was the explanation. We later on fortified our foods, and of course we eventually achieved a long lifespan. But I should say that in the book of Psalms 90, verse 10, King David is explaining they achieved a 310 lifespan in 1000 B.C., and they did it the same way we do it now. In all these years, the plagues of mankind, man only living 30 or 40 years on average, and it all, of course, is because they failed to look at the prescriptions in the Bible for health and longevity. They're all outlined there.
And that's really why I think your book, The Power of Healing, The Power of God, is so important. And I'll put a little plug in for it, even if you don't want to. Where is that available, Bill?
Okay, it's available. Just go to my website, askbillsardi.com, and then you'll get a link to another website where I have all my books for offer there. And as I say, if you're interested in this wonderful little wellness longevity formula from the Health at Home Nutrition people, they'll give you a free book. So. That phone number was 866-405-4000. But it's wonderful to go back through these wonderful things and discover them. I think one of the interesting things was when the Israelites, we call them Israelites, but they weren't Israelites till they were in Israel, but they were in the desert wandering for 40 years. They were promised the promised land, the land of milk and honey. They went there, and it says the most common fruits and vegetables that they ate were, of course, the grapes, as we've been talking about, and figs and apples and pomegranates and so on. And those are all very, very high antioxidant foods. And, of course, what are the top plant foods that we eat in America? Iceberg lettuce, almost devoid of any nutrition. French fries. We do have some tomatoes, and we generally get our oranges in the form of orange juice, which is highly sugary, and so on. So we don't have the same quality of foods as they had in the Bible. It is plausible that they did achieve a 70-year lifespan in 1000 B.C. as King David outlined.
Well, there's really so much that we can actually learn if we actually go back to the biblical prescription for health. And it's all there. It's just a matter of stopping and thinking about it. So, Bill, of course, let's get back to some of these the things that you were talking about earlier. We were talking about garlic. We were talking about hyssop. We were talking about these bitter herbs that you would mix on in.
Of course. And I think one of the other aspects of this, let's go on to the grain side of of the story. Of course, they only knew what whole grains were in the Bible. This is your wheat and your spelt and your millet and your barley and your flax. Of course, all this was put into a bread explained in the Bible called the Ezekiel bread. They even had a little bit of lentils and beans in there, which are excellent for helping repair your DNA in certain ways. But that's all they had. We didn't really have processed grains until Lord Wilkinson in the 1700s. This is the man who developed the Wilkinson sword blade, developed a patent in Britain for making white flour, and at the time then we began to have deficiency diseases like pellagra and beriberi and so on, because the flour we had was devoid of certain nutrients. So, but in Bible times, all they had were of course, whole grains. Well, look what we do today. We have ready-to-eat cereal, pasta, pancakes, waffles, French toast, crackers. And, of course, they're all have to be fortified. They're all devoid of real nutrition. We have to put the vitamins back in them. They have hydrogenated fats and many of these things. It's not something we should consume, or hydrogenated fats. So researchers at Harvard suggest no more hydrogenated fats. So the hydrogenated fats are just put into crackers and various baked goods and so on. We have, in order to increase the shelf life, they're not there for any reason of human nutrition. So it's the whole grains that contain a little substance called phytic acid, or we see it in health food stores as called IP6. It's derived from rice bran and the food supplements today. But it's that little substance that controls iron, and we have to, as I've said many times, we have to control iron in order to control disease. And we don't eat the whole grains today, so we don't have the control of iron that we once did. But the Bible prescription for health and longevity was a good one. It's one that should have never been abandoned. We abandoned it for centuries. Man's lifespan after the end of the Roman Empire went down to about 30 years. But oddly enough, we have reports that the Jewish people, who were spread in what we call the diaspora all over the world, by practicing kosher, still eating clean foods and doing what they did, had a much longer lifespan. In fact, there's records that they were able to withstand the Black Plague and, of course, the bubonic plague that spread through Europe. In fact, they were accused of starting those plagues because they didn't come down with it somehow. They thought that they had started it because they were immune to it. So, at any rate, why cleanliness, of course, was something that was prescribed in the Bible. I mean, we have to realize the Bible prescribed the washing of hands. We lose a few thousand people in hospitals every year because doctors and nurses don't wash their hands. So I remember when I used to work in a hospital as a young fellow, I worked as an orderly, and, of course, the one rule that a nurse taught me was every time you enter a patient's room, you wash your hands. So, of course, it's just not being practiced on a regular basis, but it's actually in the Bible and listed there in Scripture. So.
Well, you know, at one time, of course, this was standard operating procedure, and then, of course, with antibiotics, and, you know, we're not seeing the severe infections that you used to, why people sort of got out of the habit of it. People have forgotten the story of Semmelweis, who, of course, was an obstetrician, I think, in Vienna somewhere, you know, in probably in the 1600s, 1700s, and he, of course, was pointing out that the women, of course, were going to have babies, were getting these severe septicemia because they were being examined internally by people just coming out of the anatomy labs without washing their hands. And he insisted on washing hands. Everybody criticized him. And he said, no, look at my patients. They're not getting the infections that yours are. And it took really years before people accepted what he said. And then it became very common to wash your hands. And then, of course, people got away from that more recently because we certainly weren't so worried about the spread of infection as we were previously. But you're absolutely right. This is what it should be. And that's why in every room at one time, they used to have a sink there where you could wash your hands. Now, we don't see that in the hospital rooms now, but in the old rooms, you always had a sink in every room.
Well, you know, having worked in a hospital, I can tell you there's a lot of rules that aren't practiced. It's too bad. And, of course, cleanliness, the Bible outlines it many times and, of course, does talk about it. So washing of hands, of course, the Bible talks about being clean inside and out. And, of course, cleanliness was next to godliness in that sense. But, of course, man was to be clean on the inside and, of course, clean on the outside. And, of course, that was a regular rule all the way through the Bible.
Well, of course, there's so much in the Bible that we've applied. Of course, people don't want to apply the moral rules. Why should they apply the food rules and the health rules? And yet, of course, if we avoid the moral rules of the Bible, we lay ourselves open for terrible, terrible tragedy. And the same thing is really true as far as the health rules. They're really all there. They're laid out. They're very, very clear. Oh, we just have never taught them.
Well, and, you know, there's so many wonderful stories in the Bible. In my little book, The Bible Prescription for Health and Longevity, I report for the first time, I don't think most of your listeners have ever heard this, that when the Israelites did go from the the land from the desert into the land of milk and honey. It was a cooler climate and so on. But they entered a land that was rich in boron. This is a wonderful mineral. It's so rich that Israel has the highest concentration of boron in the soil than any other place in the world. And this is what the Israelites entered. It turns out that in Israel today, people in Israel consume about 5 to 8 milligrams of boron in their foods that come up through the soil, get in the foods, they eat them. Whereas in America, we only get about 1 milligram of boron. So what would be the difference in our health? Well, what turns out is the incidence of osteo wear and tear arthritis in the United States for all age groups across the board lumped together is about 33%. It's much higher in the older groups. And yet the incidence of arthritis in Israel, 1%.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. This is unheralded. And yet we don't watch this. We don't pay attention to this. Osteoporosis, again, is much lower there, and they have this high boron level. And again, as I mentioned it a little, give this health-at-home nutrition people that I'm consulting with a little plug, but they put this boron fruit powder, full 5 milligrams, just like you would get if you were living in Israel. They put that in their wellness longevity formula because it's what was in the Bible soil as they entered there. And by the way, boron is a wonderful mineral to make bones hard. It's good for osteoporosis, but it does another wonderful thing, and that is it helps males and females maintain their sex hormone levels. We're talking about the hormones of youth, your estrogen and your testosterone. So maybe this is an explanation of why there were accounts in the Bible of women at an advanced age having a baby, because it's possible for them to have maintained high levels of estrogen and testosterone for a longer period of time. So,
okay, well, I'm going to have to, of course, ask you to hold that thought right there. We'll be back in the next hour. But, of course, this is the time I'm going to have to tell our listeners up in the Great Northwest that we're going to have to be leaving them. And, of course, I just want to put a plug in for Radio Liberty. If you listen to our programs, you appreciate them. We hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day, as we reach out across America, trying to bring people the information they're not getting elsewhere. Now, of course, tonight we're talking about health. Other times we'll talk about what's happening from a geopolitical point of view, or really even from a spiritual point of view, because, of course, behind everything that's going on politically and militarily are the spiritual forces, which I believe direct our society. And my deep concern is, because America has turned against God, God is going to turn against this country, and we are going to see God's wrath unless, of course, we see revival in this country, unless we see our people turning back to God. So if you'd like to help us as we try to sound the alarm across America by radio, shortwave, satellite, internet, and we do have the opportunity through our various outlets to reach people. If you'd like to become part of our team, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, if you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, I think our last newsletter, the September newsletter, is an excellent one, talking about Pearl Harbor, what happened on December 7th, 1941, what happened on September 11th, 2001. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you again, may the Lord be with you. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those or the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we always welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest this evening is Bill Sardi, and certainly one of the best informed people I know on health issues and the issues of alternative medicine. And he was a trained physician. Of course, I was raised in traditional medicine, and I loved it. And, you know, you can do a great deal of good, but there were certain things that we were always sort of, we always laughed at. We always laughed at Linus Pauling and his vitamin C. I mean, how could he make these statements? Well, yes, he got a Nobel Prize, but certainly not in medicine, not in nutrition. And of course, it was really almost 50 years out of I got out of medical school before the AMA came out and said, you know, you probably ought to be taking a multivitamin every day. And yet, of course, the health food status, who we sort of scoffed at, had known this for years. And there were the people who were drinking carrot juice and of course, going to the health food stores. And, of course, the trouble is that health food stores are doing very well because they're providing people with things that they really want to have. And many of the various medicines that are available there, I should say herbs, because, of course, they can't dispense medicines, but many of the products that they have there are used by people, and they use them for one and only one reason, because they work. Would you like to sort of pick up on that, Bill?
Well, certainly. For a long time now, it's been a revelation to me that I've, of course, enjoyed sharing, which is that the biological action of virtually every prescription drug can be duplicated with dietary supplements. It's a great big secret the pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. Modern medicine is collapsing. It's overpriced itself. People can't afford it. Most people can't afford health insurance. And so you're going to have to stay healthy. And, of course, you don't need to take the expensive drugs. And you should know that why is it that all of the drugs are man-made? Can't any natural molecules that God made help us in the same way? They certainly can. So it's not that every medicine has to be man-made. In fact, when the patents wear out on the prescription drugs, then they just go to another one, and they forget to prescribe the older ones because they can't make as much profit on them. So you'll learn that ginger has many of the anti-inflammatory properties that, of course, aspirin and ibuprofen has without many of the side effects there. If you just think an aspirin tablet is benign and you're going to take one little baby-coated aspirin tablet, that can drill a hole in your stomach and cause an ulcer, and it can be a bleeding ulcer. Many thousands of people die from bleeding ulcers from taking aspirin tablets. And if you're taking an aspirin tablet to help your cardiac and your heart system, everything to work right so you won't have blood clots, well, you should know that aspirin reduces the depletes the body of folic acid, an important B vitamin, and then you raise your homocysteine levels, which then puts you back in the same place where you started because homocysteine causes heart and blood vessel disease. So you're going to need to learn more about, I know when you go to doctors today, they may say, well, look, you know, an aspirin, a Tums, and a one-a-day vitamin, we're into vitamins. Well, they're really not. They're not as educated as they need to be. And unfortunately, most of us and certainly the doctors have been a little bit brainwashed by all of this misinformation. And we scare people away from the vitamins and so on. We need to learn more about them. Many of the herbs and vitamins will do us well. Just in the last 2 years, we realized that if we just gave people a lot more folic acid, we could take millions of people off these antidepressant drugs. It's all caused by a deficiency of folic acid, just a little inexpensive B vitamin. So many, many answers like this to people. We just need to share the information so they get it. They can save their health and save that money in their pocketbook.
Yeah, I remember, of course, when we saw this terrible tragedy here, oh, maybe a year, year and a half ago, when a woman postpartum went ahead and she killed all five of her children. And just as after baby blues, call it what you will. But, you know, I've heard that many of these postpartum depressions really are nutritional because they've, of course, expanded so much of their normal nutrition into the child. Have you looked into that at all?
Oh, yes. The primary nutrient we're concerned about with postpartum depression and postpartum mania, as we call it, is really the lack of essential oils, omega-3 fatty acids, we call them. Of course, the baby's nervous system needs that. And, of course, mom is going to give it to the baby to have life and to have a nervous system, brain cells, and so on. So it's all going to be donated to the baby, and the baby and the mother are sharing those nutrients, and then all of a sudden the baby departs and mom is left without that sharing capacity, and she's depleted of these essential omega-3 oils that are needed for the nervous system. Her mood collapses, the hormones collapse, and of course she goes into what appears to be uncontrollable depression. And we've said it before, the very moment a woman is pregnant, she needs to be on fish oil or flaxseed oil, 3,000 to 5,000 milligrams a day. She'll have a longer period of gestation, that is, more chance of a full-term baby, just 2 weeks of prematurity, and you may have a little defect in a child. So you want full-term babies, and then 2 weeks before your due date, you yank that fish oil or flax oil out of your system, and it'll induce an on-time baby, and then you go right back to those oils when you're breastfeeding so you can get them into the infant so the child's nervous system will develop properly, and you'll find that babies sleep better, they're calmer, they're better behaved all the way through life if you start them on these essential oils, and which are needed. You get them from fish and flax. And in my book, The Bible Prescription for Health and Longevity, I point out that the land of Israel had two wonderful sources of omega-3 from fish, that is the Mediterranean and, of course, the Galilean Sea. And, of course, they were able to get omega-3 from flaxseed as well. So it had ample provision for these essential oils. 80% of Americans are out of these oils. You're going to need to supplement. I'm sorry, there's no way you can get around this. Either you're going to take flaxseed meal or flax seeds and crush them and grind them up yourself, or you're going to be taking fish oil or flaxseed oil, because 80% of us are out of these. And many, many diseases and health problems could be avoided if we just got that back into our system.
And, of course, a great tragedy is, of course, the woman goes to the doctor, and the doctor sends him to the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist gives him Prozac or Luvox or one of these, serotonin-blocking agents. And then, of course, sometimes they'll go into these fits of rage or insanity do something just so ridiculous. You know, no woman is going to kill all of her children unless, of course, there's something seriously wrong with her mind.
Well, absolutely. I don't think people realize the importance of nutrition and so on. In if you don't have adequate hormone levels, your mood is going to collapse. And if you read the report on my website, for any of you who have young people or really anybody with acne, it's a terrible little skin problem. Mostly young people have it, more so in physically active young people and adults, because it's androgens or male hormones that promote acne. But you'll learn some nutritional remedies there, and to stay away from the drug Accutane, which, by the way, is really a vitamin, is what it is, a vitamin A, but Accutane, a super type of vitamin A, can cause dramatic depression and cause them to commit suicide. Remember the young man who flew the plane into the building down in Florida a year after 9/11? He was on Accutane, and there's a congressman's son in Michigan who committed suicide. He was on Accutane, an acne drug. So God help us that any child would ever have that happen. It's happening every day. We want to steer people away from that drug to more natural remedies for acne. Actually, one of them is flaxseed meal or flaxseed oil. Those are good for it, but there are other things you can use as well, and you can learn about that on my website. And of course, we just urge people to continue to find alternatives. We believe the prescription drugs are problematic. We're going to be forced out of some of them. You continue to bring up the antibiotic drugs. We just don't realize all of the antibiotic drugs we have and that we use were patented originally. They're off patent now, but the only way you can get them is through doctors. And of course, they make a lot of money selling these things, but they're artificial molecules. The body recognizes this. The germs learn to mutate around them. You notice that we don't have any germ resistance if we use nature's antibiotics. Garlic, oregano, olive leaf, onions, these are all the wonderful natural antibiotics. Hyssop, these are medicinal herbs that have antibiotic properties. Some of them have been found to be as strong as all the rest of the man-made antibiotics, and there is never any resistance to those antibiotics. The germs are resistant to the man-made molecules. So penicillin was invented in 1929. It only took 11 years. By the year 1940, germ resistance had been noted. Streptomycin was invented in 1944. It only took 3 years for the germs to figure out how to develop resistance in 1947. Tetracycline was invented in 1948. And, of course, by 1956, just 8 years later, the bugs were resistant to it. So, you see, it's sooner or later, all these antibiotics are going to be rendered worthless, and we're going to all be using these natural antibiotics, which, of course, traditionally have been used. And, of course, we're documented in the Bible. So it's wonderful for us to think about it, that we have some options. God has given us these wonderful molecules. Unfortunately, we're all being misled by the medical profession at this point.
Well, now, what about this olive leaf? Is this an extract? Is this something that you just take by mouth? How does
right.
that work?
Right. Olive leaf is a wonderful extract. Its active ingredient is called oleuropein. It is not as strongly documented as an antibiotic action as is fresh garlic or oil of oregano, but it does have some wonderful properties to it. I should say, while we're mentioning olives and so on, that the olive oil of the Bible, we talk about that kind of being a medicinal oil. It was used for cooking and healing and ceremonial anointing and used in lamps and so on at Bible times. But may have also had spices added to it. It says in the book of Exodus it was used for light and spices for anointing oil. So spices may have been added, but The olive oil of the Bible looked rather green, and the olive oil we see today in stores looks rather clear and golden and yellow. In fact, some of it has hazelnut oil added to it, and they don't put it on the label. But it's not the same oil we saw. And when they give you all those wonderful studies about the Mediterranean diet and olive oil being healthy, first, all oil should be used sparingly, but olive oil is healthy only in respect to the polyphenols, or what we call the antioxidants, the anti-rusting agents in there, and they're green. So I know some types of olives are more green. The Kalamata olive is more green, but we're not just talking about the type or the color of the olive, but we're also talking about the amount of antioxidants. So the olive oil you're using today, even if it says extra virgin, it should look a little green, and of course they color the bottles green so you can't see it. But that's what they use, and it probably had more medicinal property during Bible days than, of course, it does today.
Well, you know, a lot of people are using colloidal silver, and there's a lot of within the conservative movement today, a lot of people are selling this as silver is a wonderful antiseptic. Well, silver is a wonderful antiseptic topically, and certainly has been used in burn units. It'll prevent local infections. But what about when taken internally? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, of course, silver is a heavy metal. It's going to cause oxidation or rusting. That's why we take the antioxidants, vitamin C and E and so on. When there's bugs all over our skin, by the way, that's not so bad. They take care of things for us pretty well, but they don't, you know, really cause a problem. But, you know, we can use it topically. The colloidal silver came into common practice before the age of antibiotics. Understand, penicillin didn't come into use till 1922. So it was in that era, the late 1800s, early 1900s, colloidal silver was found to be good. The problem is in taking it internally, yes, it will kill the bugs in your stomach. It may kill the good bacteria in your stomach. I know a lot of people feel better. They say it works. Well, it certainly does. But you're taking a heavy metal to do it. And so some people get this condition where their skin and their eyes start to turn gray. You don't want heavy metals. We're talking, you know, lead, cadmium, silver. These are heavy metals. You don't want to do it that way. Yes, I can kill a lot of bugs. Just give me a rusty nail. That'll kill germs, but that isn't the way to do it. And, of course, what I'm pointing to people is usually learning about oil of oregano, learn about fresh garlic, learn about, of course, all these wonderful things, a wonderful garlic pill, Alamax here, that has the fresh allicin components in it and so on. So is to learn about these. This wonderful study done at Cornell showed that allspice and garlic and onion and oil of oregano, all those killed every known bacterium tested. So, you know, I think that's important for us to learn. We need an antibiotic kit at home so we can have something to take in case we do get sick, whether it's viruses or whatever. By the way, we're talking about bacteria, but these are also effective against viruses, whereas most of the man-made medicines, the antibiotics are only effective against bacteria and not viruses. So it's nature provides us some wonderful things, and of course it's important for us to learn about them.
No, actually, will garlic actually kill viruses?
Yes, it's been known to kill the poliovirus, adenoviruses, which are cold viruses. Been known to kill the all the various poliovirus and so on. So it's the allicin component in garlic that does that. Most of the garlic pills today probably don't have any real allicin, the active ingredient in there. This Alamax pill certainly does. A lot of people, that's coming here from Britain now. But fresh garlic, it's hard to replace. And, of course, if you crush it or if you put it in a food processor, you'll even make more of the allicin. It's not in the garlic cloves themselves. It has to be mixed or crushed, and then you've activated an enzyme to make it in there. And then it hangs around for a while before it becomes oxidized and used up. So you get the benefit out of the crushed fresh garlic, or this wonderful Alamax pill that's here that tries to duplicate that in a rather authentic way. But again, we've known about garlic since Bible days. The Bible talks about the Israelites. They left Egypt, and they said they longed for the days of when they were in Egypt, when they had the fish and the garlic, you see. So, of course, that's obviously how they were paid. They were paid in food and so on. And, of course, they knew those things were important for their health. So they knew the difference right away. And of course, we're just learning today the importance of having natural antibiotics at our home. I think for a lot of our children, if we keep using antibiotics, we're just going to cause more trouble. Our children eventually are going to run into trouble with the overuse of antibiotics, and I believe that's one of the reasons why we have all the cases of autism. We kill all the bacteria when we take antibiotics, but right after we finish the course of antibiotics is when our digestive tract may not have good, friendly bacteria in there. We've killed it all due to the antibiotic, and that's when another unfriendly bacterium can take up residence, and I think it's one of the reasons why we see so many cases of Crohn's disease and colitis and other things, is we've overused antibiotics, and then, of course, it's given a chance for unfriendly bacteria to get started in the digestive tract.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, don't be bashful. We'd love to hear from you. Well, you know, of course, some of the people out there, some of the people who are talking about health, keep talking about the importance of minerals, of colloidal minerals. And, of course, they have these products. And, of course, they come usually out of Utah from some of the mines there that have all these various colloidal products, supposedly came from vegetation many years ago. Some of them, however, have rather high levels of aluminum, which has been some concern to me. A lot of people take these, though, and they just swear by them. What are your thoughts about these colloidal minerals?
Well, and these are the humic type of minerals, like from the salt lake and so on.
Right.
And of course, they may even have lead in there and so on. So it depends on what they're listing. Sometimes they don't even list everything. But There's been no evidence that, you know, a colloidal, or that is a suspended mineral, is better absorbed. Even if it was better absorbed, the human body does a great piece of work to try and limit the absorption of minerals, particularly the metallic minerals like copper and lead and iron and so on. So when they say they have better absorption, believe me, that's a red light. The body wants to make sure that minerals are only getting in small amounts. Of course, maybe we'd like a little more calcium, magnesium, and so on, but we have to be careful about mineral absorption. Anybody talking about minerals always being better absorbed better be careful. They don't really know their minerals, because the body is working very hard to prevent mineral overload. In just a period of 4 to 6 weeks, we can become iron overloaded and so on. So it's very, very troublesome for us. We need to be careful about these claims about the colloidal minerals. And I should say, the Bible talks about minerals. We do have the wonderful story of the Sea of Galilee runs down through the Jordan River and, of course, goes to the Dead Sea. And there's lots of minerals in that Jordan River there. Of course, we have the story in the Bible of Naaman, who was a Syrian army captain, and they had captured some Israelites and gone off with them. And a captive Israelite girl said, "Go back to my land where my God will cure you of your skin disease." He had a skin problem. So he went back there, and of course, God's prophet refused to see him, but told him to dip in the water 7 times, which he did. And this Syrian army captain was cured of his skin disease and said, "This is who, the only God in the world is your God." That was his revelation at the time. But you see, he dipped in the water, and the water in the River Jordan is very rich in minerals, particularly sulfur. Our previous caller in the previous hour talked about lipoic acid. That's a sulfur compound. Selenium, it's another one. And those minerals accumulate in the Dead Sea today, and along with the special reflectance from the sand there near the Dead Sea and the sunlight and the ultraviolet rays, people from all around the world go to the Dead Sea to be treated for skin diseases like psoriasis and so on. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Bible story of Naaman was actually a natural cure that God kind of planned in a special way to lead Naaman into recognizing that the God of Israel was the God of the universe. And, of course, it was a natural healing, probably accomplished through minerals. So we need to learn about minerals. Of course, iron is the most important mineral that we need to learn about, but calcium, magnesium, and all these other wonderful ones, of course, are important lessons for us, too.
Okay, let's go to Bob, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Pretty good. On a prior show, I heard Bill Friday talk about a supplement for prostate or something that he sent to you that said he said worked excellent. I was wondering how to get that.
You're talking about a medicine for the prostate.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. Dr. Stan was talking to me about just issues, as men do. Get on an airplane, you'll notice the men have the aisle seat and get up 5 times, you know, who has the prostate problems. Of course, as we get a little older, the prostate gland, about the size of a walnut, keeps growing and expands, and it pinches off the ureters there, and so it's hard for us to urinate. It gives us a sense of fullness all the time in our bladder, so we're getting up all the time and going. And, of course, that's troublesome at night because we don't get a full night's sleep, and sleep is important for our health as well. Turns out there's little herbs and so on. Conventional medicine only kind of begrudgingly adopted these, but saw palmetto berry you've probably heard about. But also there's a wonderful little extract from bee pollen and some other little important things that have all been put together. It's called Prostate Optimizer. And the formula that we sent to Dr. Stan is made by Jarrow, J-A-R-R-O-W. If you can't find it in the stores, I can give you that little number we gave you earlier, 866-405-4000, and they can help you locate it. But you know, it's wonderful when people find answers to these things so they can get a good night's sleep. And what these herbs do is selectively go down to the prostate gland and shrink it and only affect the prostate. They don't bother anything else. So it's remarkable how that little herb does that and finds its way to the prostate gland. So it's a miracle, a wonderful thing for men.
And Bob, I will tell you that I tried two or three others for, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years. And when Bill sent me this one he just mentioned to you, you know, it's worked literally like a miracle. It's really a, and I'm getting up only once or twice now, whereas the 3 or 4 times before. So it's a great product.
Great. I'm going to try that. Also, when you just see your prior comments about coital minerals, I always thought that they're such small quantities that it really would have a hard time overloading your system.
Right. I understand the argument about the, you know, a small quantity of all these wonderful 70 minerals or so. I think there's 17 minerals we really have had confirmed that we really need. But you'll get small amounts of tin and lead and all these other little minerals that we have. You'll get that if you eat plant foods because they're in the ground and those minerals are taken up there. So to have them colloidal and that you have a shortage of them, I'd be scratching my head. Understand, one of the reasons for aging, particularly in men, is that there's no place for the minerals to go. Women have a place for it to go, and it's dumped out once a month, in particular the iron and sometimes the copper and so on. But men have no place for these things to go. So to say you're adding to the load of metallic minerals can be very troublesome. And, of course, we're even concerned about aluminum because some of these formulas, there was a formula there, I think it's the coral calcium that has aluminum, and they really don't put it on the label, but it was doubling the amount of aluminum that we would get normally out of our diet. Well, we're concerned because aluminum, when it's combined with fluoride, which is another little component we do with our water, we fluoridate the water, and fluoride solubilizes the aluminum in our diet and our foods, otherwise it just goes straight through and never get in. And therefore it gets into our circulatory system, goes to the brain. We know aluminum is a toxin in the brain. So we do get concerned about minerals that have a significant amount. Things with traces like our foods, we understand, but the body has a way of detoxifying itself. But from an intentional standpoint, to be taking things that are designed with any of those in, as you understand, even in California here, we can't market a food supplement with any lead in it whatsoever. And then to say we're putting traces of that in a colloidal mineral for it doesn't make sense.
Anything else, Bob?
No, that's good. I sure appreciate the information.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm glad you're listening. Thanks so much for calling. Okay, fine. That's Bob from Santa Cruz. And if you're out there across America listening to us, you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Monterey Bay area, it's 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Bill Sardi, and of course we're talking about the health and health matters, and really there are so many questions I'm sure that many, many people have. What about the glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate? This seems to be something that sort of swept the country as an alternative to taking ibuprofen.
Well, of course, what the doctors in Boston that did the majority of this research, I got a lecture from them firsthand a couple of years ago, is that the anti-inflammatory drugs, the ibuprofens and acetaminophen, which is a pain reliever, or aspirin and so on, the Vioxx and Celebrex, they get rid of the pain, but then we use our joints more, and we have more bone-on-bone rubbing, and we wear out our bones faster. So what they recognized was people taking glucosamine had less of this wear and tear and seemed to do better than the anti-inflammatory drugs, which, by the way, the anti-inflammatory drugs, I'll give you a big red asterisk, many, many people die of hemorrhage from those ulcers that are caused. So, again, $374 million of glucosamine now being sold. Of course, there's something better than that. If we have a break here, when we come back, I'll talk about it.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, Bill Sardi. Welcome your calls out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And of course, our guest this evening is Bill Stardi. Now, I did want to mention, somebody had called in about the conference that's going to be tomorrow. I'm going to be speaking at the Southwest Radio Conference. It's going to be in Pleasanton, where 680, which is, of course, going north from San Jose, crosses 580, which, of course, is the cross highway that takes you on over to Highway 5. And it's the Hilton there. It's the as you come to the junction, just look to the right. You'll see a big hotel. That's the Hilton. You have to go down onto 580 to the first turnoff, and then, of course, you wind around to a back road to get to the Hilton. Anybody can tell you. It's at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and, of course, if you've called ahead of time, or you get in for nothing. Otherwise, they may charge you $10 at the door. And I'll be speaking. Noah Hutchings will be speaking. Bob Grant will be speaking. They have a gentleman from England who's talking. Apparently, he's a fascinating speaker. And so if you're interested in going, why, I'll look forward to seeing you there. That's tomorrow at 9 o'clock at the Hilton Hotel in Pleasanton, just to the right of where 680 and 580 cross. And we'll be back here right now, though. We've got Laura calling from Monterey. Hi, Laura. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
As you speak right up.
Oh, I said thank you for taking my call.
Well, it's good to have you with us.
Yeah, I'm truly impressed with your guest tonight.
Well, that's why I have him on, because he impresses me.
My mom's a naturopath, and I just graduated, and I'm a nutritionist now, and I did my senior project on something I'd love to get his just opinion on, or just input, especially because he's attributing all of these wonderful things to the Bible, and I'm fascinated. I guess speechless, as you can hear me just muttering over my words.
Well, of course, let me suggest he's got a wonderful book. It's called The Power of Healing, The Power of God. And we've had a copy for some years now. My wife won't let me see it. It's in her library.
Yes, I've been frantically writing down things you guys have been saying tonight. I want to make sure his website, I thought I heard a while ago, was www.askbillsardi.com.
Yes, billsardi.com.
Is that with an S or a Z?
Yes, S is in Sam, A-R-D-I.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, it sounds like you have quite an extensive knowledge in medical background, that sort of thing. I just got on about 10 minutes ago and have been listening. And as you're aware, with the epidemic and the increase of obesity and morbid obesity, there has been a new surgery that's out that's quite effective in treating it. However, it does alter what, you know, the digestive system that, you know, God made for us. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Surgery is for the morbidly obese, and, of course, it may be a life-saving procedure. Mm-hmm. Though, frankly, I know we want to blame individuals for this. There may be metabolic reasons. For some reason, in the United States, particularly among females, there's a collapse of the thyroid gland. I will be writing a report about obesity in America soon on my website, and believe me, nobody's going to feel guilty when reading it when you really find out that we have programmed obesity, because I was mentioning earlier that we grain feed our meat. Well, how do they fatten the hogs? They feed them grain. That's how they do that, and they're feeding us the grain by us eating the same animals, you see. So we get mottled or fattened or marbled meat, and it's filled with fat. They don't have that kind of problem down in Brazil and Argentina, where the people are much leaner and they eat a lot of meat. It's the quality of the meat and the amount of fat in there. So they believe that we gain about 17 pounds a year just from the grain feeding or fattening of the meat in America. So you understand, it's programmed into our food supply now, because this is the way that we get the foods. And, of course, we have a lot of carbohydrates. Just looking at the number of donuts that people eat in a year, it's amazing to me. The average American, if you can believe this, eats 200 candy bars a year. We eat 125 pounds of sugar, if you can imagine. Think of how many bags of sugar that is. So, wow, I mean, that's a lot of problems there. And, of course, it's kind of programmed in, because we don't see those sugar bags. We just see the donuts and the foods that are, even our bread, you know, go look, it has a whole gram or 1,000 milligrams of sugar in there. unless you want to call it sourdough. What do we call sourdough? It's just bread without sugar. So,
fermented.
You know, we put sugar in everything, and of course, it's good for the taste. We're fooling our taste buds, and it's why we have so much obesity. Of course, if you're going to have any kind of a gastric bypass surgery, they have a banding surgery that they can undo and so on. But for the most part, if you're left with something permanent there, then, of course, you're going to have a real trouble the rest of your life absorbing certain nutrients because certain sections of your digestive tract have been taken out. You're going to have a real hard time keeping adequate B12 levels and so on, and you're going to be somewhat sick, even though they did save your life. So you don't want to get to that point. Of course, you want to elevate your metabolism. Hot spices help do this. Keeping your thyroid gland working does this. Thyroid hormone, a good doctor might need to give you a little bit of that. Remember now, the thyroid is the thermostat of the body. That is, it sets up the heat or the cold. So, you know, if you got more heat, you burn more calories. So we need to keep that thyroid gland working. We need iodine. They never tell you too much about it, but we need selenium. It's another important little trace mineral to keep that thyroid gland working, and we need to watch carefully about our weight, select our food carefully, and understand we can eat like hogs when we're kids because we're growing and all those calories are headed someplace. But after we're fully grown, we have to make abrupt changes. It's just that women get away with this for a while because they need all those extra nutrients for their babies. But as time goes on, we need to dramatically cut down the amount of food that we eat.
Well, it's interesting because I did my senior project on this, so I'm quite versed in the topic. And I guess the B12 you can get sublingually, and I'm finding there's actually quite a few things you can get sublingual, so that way it bypasses the gut altogether. But I was just curious because you kind of kept paralleling medicine into the Bible, and I'd prayed. About getting information for the surgery, and actually I myself have had the surgery and feel it has saved my life. I'm down.
Sure, it can save someone's life. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's but at the same time, there's always been that I pray to God and He's it just seemed like complete green lights. But I always have wondered is that what God wanted me to do, and I just was. Wondering if there anything in the Bible that says
You can't
not
look
to
back
do that.
Now. Yeah, you can't look back
can't
now.
Look back,
but, right. You're missing part of your digestive tract, so you have to make up for that. Make sure you don't become B12 deficient. By the way, even people with a completely intact digestive tract, about 40% of Americans are deficient in vitamin B12. How do we know without running down to doctors and getting tests all the time? Even the tests are terribly inaccurate, so sometimes it helps people to take some extra B12, see how it works. And if you're having short-term memory loss, if you have a sore tongue, if you have burning, tingling, or numb feet, or you're fatigued, or any or all of those, you may be short on B12, so it might help you to take a little extra vitamin B12.
So there's nothing in the Bible that necessarily would say no on surgery or altering.
Well, not that I can find. No.
Okay.
There was a course of practice during Bible days that you are not to be cut by anything. You're not to cut things, but that didn't refer to surgery. Surgery was practiced at the time.
Okay. Anything else, Laura?
Huh? Say it again.
Is there anything else you wanted to ask?
No. I think it's great. I just wanted to get his opinion on the gastric bypass because I think it's a very powerful surgery, and I really liked how he was paralleling everything to the Bible.
Now, of course, Laura, was this did they actually do an incision, or was this done through an esophagoscope?
Actually, did the laparoscopic.
Laparoscopic, right.
Yeah, from USC. So.
Right, of course, it's exciting what they're doing now, but of course, if we can get people to avoid it, fine. If we can't, why? Well, you're a living testimony that can help. Please keep listening. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Barbara calling from SoCal again. Hi, Barbara.
Good evening. Yes, I'm calling it twice in one night. But
For our listeners out there, this happens to be my wife, so we have to let her on the second time.
I hear Bill warning about the overload of iron in the diet, but I'm also wondering about people who have hemochromatosis and who have the hereditary hemochromatosis. There is a certain number of people who have the one, you know, the single gene, and there are those who have the multiple gene on this. And do you have any recommendations as to diet? I mean, obviously you're not going to want to take iron, but do you have any dietary recommendations on this at all?
Well, the first thing is don't eat total cereal. It has 100% of your iron requirements in one bowl of cereal, and I never saw anybody sit down, at least a man, and only eat one bowl, eat a couple of bowls. So some of those that iron you get is hidden even if you're not taking vitamin pills. I believe that the United States should rethink its fortification of iron in so many foods. It's great for children. We need two classes of foods, one for children, one for adults. We need to watch that iron. Obviously, pregnant females and various issues in women need some iron, but overall, God would rather have us a little bit slightly short of iron than overloaded, and the genetic form of iron overload we call hemochromatosis is way overplayed. I don't believe there are very many people at all that have that form. I believe a lot of it is dietarily induced, and they don't realize it. I've seen people that have been told they have genetic hemochromatosis. Okay, well, that means they absorb more iron from their food and diet than you and I do. However, you talk to those people very strongly. I hate to sound a little judgmental here, but they may have had a history or a time in their life when they overdrank lots of alcohol or did things to abuse their digestive tract, and that destroyed the certain things in the digestive tract, and then they, of course, absorb more iron. So you have to be very careful about alcohol, because alcohol is going to help you absorb more iron. And if you're a meat and potatoes and beer guy, if you like red meat, which is highly absorbable iron, and you have a glass of beer with that every night, you are really going to overload on iron. So you have to be careful in the diet about learning some of these things. Again, if you're anemic, you're going to have cold hands and feet because you're not going to have enough red blood cells. Iron goes down to the bone marrow and makes red blood cells. And, of course, if you don't get enough, then red blood cells carry heat in the body. So if you're anemic, you're going to have cold hands and feet because that's where the red blood cells carry the heat. So you'll know that you're on the anemic side. If you're on the iron overloaded side, you're going to have a lot more infections. As I said, iron causes bacteria, viruses, and funguses to grow. It causes tumors to grow, and so on. So one side of life or the other, this is all described in my book, The Iron Time Bomb. Now, there's a way to chelate, or that is to flush and get all the excess iron out of your body. I suggest every adult do this, every male in particular, at least once or maybe a few times in their life. And that is because the iron that's excess in our body goes back to the liver, and then the liver builds us up. That's why we eat liver as a meat, because it has iron in it when we're anemic. So you need to chelate or get it out. You don't have to run down to the alternative medicine doctor to do this. You just need some rice bran extract. And in fact, those people at Health at Home Nutrition I was talking to you about, I get so angry because all the food supplement companies haven't done their homework, so they've developed a wonderful liver cleansing product for people that want to chelate and get that liver cleansed out, get that extra iron out. But if you took that formula, you wouldn't need to keep running down. Now, today, if you're iron overloaded, of course, they do all the bloodletting. They let blood out because 80% of the iron's in the blood. But, of course, then that depletes you of red blood cells, and now of course, it weakens your immune system and so on. So you want to have plenty of red blood cells, but you can do that. Just use the rice bran extract, and then you can get chelated of the excess iron in your body. So.
Now, I was just asking this for people who might be listening to the program, because I had a mother who drank no alcohol whatsoever, did not eat a lot of meat, but who was diagnosed with hemochromatosis.
Right, and she either may have a genetic abnormality and or the digestive tract somehow was more leaky or more open to absorbing iron. And for whatever those combinations are, there are people. Either way, the diet can handle this. I mean, drinking green tea will help you pull iron out of your body. There's various things so that you can use. And so these are all good things in the diet to control. control iron, particularly for males. So very important to learn.
Anything else, Barbara?
No, is this carried in males as well as females?
Well, absolutely. As we grow, we need iron to grow. We need to make millions of red blood cells as we're growing. After we're fully grown at age 18, men start developing 1 excess milligram of iron per day of life thereafter. Women don't. They dump it once a month unless they have an early hysterectomy, or after menopause they start building it up. So at age 40, men have twice the iron levels and twice the diabetes, heart disease, rates of cancer, infection, and so on. So again, we need to chelate it out, and there's some, of course, wonderful ways to do it. And, of course, we encourage everybody to learn all those ways. Green tea is a good way. Rice bran extract is another good way. Getting more of these wonderful bioflavonoid cherries, berries, and grapes in your diet. Those are all good ways to control iron.
Okay. Anything else, Barbara?
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm going to ask if Claire will just hang on from Santa Cruz, because we have Alan calling from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Alan. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Good evening, Bill and Dr. Stanton. It's a pleasure to talk to you both.
Now, if you're listening on the Internet, how are you hearing us?
Oh, I listened to an ACN from 8 to 9.
Okay, fine.
And I knew that Bill was on after that. So.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay. My mom is diagnosed with large cell cancer.
Large cell, what though? Cancer of what?
It's in the lower left lung and in the lymph nodes of the chest. And then it might be in the lymph nodes of the stomach and maybe in the tip of the liver. And I was wondering, she's a non-smoker. My dad was a smoker for many years, so it might be because from secondhand smoke, we're not sure. But I was wondering what Bill thought about cancer and how to cure it. If there's we've gone to oncologists and they recommend chemotherapy and radiation, but I was wondering if there's anything natural that could cure it without radiation and chemotherapy.
Okay, now understand, I'm careful when I talk about cancer that I don't mislead people, but of course your mother, whom you cherish, like we all do, our parents, she has a little bit more of an advanced form of disease here. So
right.
If you can go to my website at askbillsardi.com and look for my hunt around there, and you'll find my dietary supplement regimen for people that have cancer. Obviously, I don't sell anything there. I'm not claiming I'm a guru or a cures or anything. I'm just telling you, to the best of my knowledge and the research that I've done, if you'd follow that regimen,
okay,
that would do a great amount of good. And the least you can do is get her some rice bran extract, because if you control the iron, you'll throw the disease into remission. So these are just little tips for people with cancer. Without iron, cancer can't grow. So if you can take it away, you might greatly help her go into remission with this. I'm sorry to say, I don't mean to confuse people that trust their doctors and undergo cancer therapy, but unfortunately, most of the people who succumb to cancer succumb to the treatment rather than the disease, because the treatment is so harsh. I don't mean to be negative against doctors who are trying to treat the disease, but I do mean to say, is that their methods of treatment are very harsh and toxic, and we need to be careful.
Right.
Sometimes that's not examined, and I know the doctors feel all this is snake oil, but we really need to research other areas here
now,
of how to treat cancer.
It sounds like this is metastatic disease. It's really spread throughout her body.
Right, yeah. If it was in the lungs, they said they could maybe operate. But it's in the lymph nodes of the lungs, and then it could be in the lymph nodes of the stomach, and then it could be in the tip of the liver. They're going.
Right.
They might do a PET scan to
right.
see if, to find out more.
Uh-huh. Well, what you want to do is thin the blood, because cancer cannot spread unless the blood is thick and the little blood platelets and clots form, and then that causes a growth medium for cancers and for the roaming cancer cells to start sticking like flypaper on the sticky blood platelets, and then, of course, they start to make a little ball of tumor cells somewhere, and it becomes a metastasis that spreads somewhere. So you want to keep the blood thin. Garlic, magnesium, fish oil, vitamin E, they all thin the blood and don't over-thin it. This has been known for years and so on. So there's many wonderful ways to prevent cancer. I'm always remarked at how people maybe are in a car accident, and then thereafter cancer develops. Well,
they're in some sort of an accident, and then the body has to heal it. There's some sort of wound healing going on and blood clotting going on, and then as more blood clots form, well, then the cancer begins to form because it's a growth medium for tumors, especially spreading tumors. So it's just lessons we need to learn. But please go to my website, and you're welcome to look that over, and you can contact me there through the website.
Okay, and it's AskBillSardi.com.
Right, it is.
Do you also have a toll-free number?
I don't have a toll-free number, but...
Or a toll number?
If you can get a hold of me there, then I'll be able to give you that number.
Okay.
Okay, and fine. And let us know how your mom does, you know. Then maybe nothing will help her, but certainly you want to do everything you can to nutritionally to help her.
Okay. Also, Bill, I was going to say rice bran extract. Is there a brand name for that? Or
any brand will work. It goes by the letters I, letter I, P as in Paul, 6, IP6. That's what you're looking for.
IP6.
Right.
Okay.
We'll keep in touch with us, Ellen.
Yeah, I will do. Dr. Stan, I sure appreciate that.
Okay, fine. Thanks so much.
And if the listeners could keep us, both my mom and the family, in their prayers, I would appreciate that, too.
Okay. What's your mom's name?
Lucille.
Lucille. Okay. Thanks so much, Ellen.
Okay. Thank you, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Bill. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah. Let's go to Claire calling from Santa Cruz. Thank you very much, sir, hanging on. But Ellen was calling from Spokane.
No problem at all. I wish to, and by the way, God bless you both for what you're doing. I was wondering, Dr. Spoke of something, a wellness something for one a day. I take the Centrum thing, and I'm wondering, would this other one be better? I'm a little older. I'm 74.
Yeah, Centrum, I don't like to use kind of pick on any brand names, but we need to be careful there. Some of those Centrum products have iron in them, so you want something
iron. That's why I was concerned. I thought
And, of course, the amount of nutrients in some of those one-a-days is just not adequate for people in your age group. And if you doubled up just to even save you money and take two of them, then you'd be overdosing on certain things like zinc and so on. So it turns out that it's better for you to get something a little more rounded. Now,
well, you mentioned that wellness...
The wellness formula is wonderful. It doesn't do everything that it does everything that multivitamins don't. That is, it does what the Mediterranean diet does.
Aye.
And it's a wonderful formula, and of course people will realize it in time. But sometimes you may need to learn more about multivitamins. So try and contact me after the show, either through my website or other sources, mm-hmm. and then we'll try and get a hold of you and see if we can't.
And the other question, quickly, you said there was another substitute maybe for glucosamine chondroitin.
Oh, yes, of course. We didn't get to that, of course. What we need to learn is glucosamine is only one half of a molecule in the body called hyaluronic acid. I have a whole book on this called How to Live 100 Years Without Growing Old. Your body is filled with, I know we're short on time, I'll make it brief.
Mm-hmm.
Your body has a wonderful molecule that gels water like Jell-O.
Yes.
And it becomes the cushioning for your nerves and the cushioning for your bones, and it fills your skin.
Yes.
And so the hyaluronic acid is one half glucosamine and one half of another molecule.
Ah.
You're not getting the whole molecule, so it's hard to get the results. You need to learn about hyaluronic acid. H-Y-A-L-U-R-O-N-I-C. Hyaluronic acid.
Yes.
Your body's filled with it. Notice when you cut your fingertip, you can cut it and cut it and cut it, and you'd still get a perfect fingerprint without any scars. The same thing if you cut your face shaving, you guys, and so on. Hyaluronic acid, that's right under the skin on your fingertip and your face. It's the very stuff that cushions your bones. If you learn about that, that's going to be the real breakthrough for people that have arthritis.
God bless you for you, and God bless you, Stan.
Well, thank you so much, Stan.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that's our telephone number. We've got time for one or two more calls, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And Bill got me on the hyaluronic acid. I've got a terrible left hip, and I was going to get the thing fixed. In fact, I was determined I was going to because it was just giving me so much trouble. have a hip flexion contraction. Well, now, of course, the pain is pretty well gone out of it, and but I've still got the hip flexion contraction, and it grinds. Oh, it makes the worst sound in the world, but, you know, at least it's not hurting. So now I'm torn between getting it fixed and just sort of waiting and seeing. I can remember years ago when I was practicing, and this old gentleman came in, and about my age, of course, oh, this was many years ago, and his wife wanted him to get his hip fixed because he looked so miserable, and he, you know, his hip made these terrible noises when he walked, and but he didn't want to get it fixed because it didn't hurt, and he wasn't about to have it fixed just because she wanted it fixed, and so that's sort of the position I find myself in at the present time.
Yeah, well, by the way, we've been talking about aging here tonight, and hyaluronic acid is the most remarkable molecule for erasing the visible signs of aging, because wrinkling of our skin, the loss of our hair, the lack of flexibility in our joints and pain, as we know as arthritis, all the visible signs of aging, even the need for reading glasses, is all because we've lost something called hyaluronic acid. So it's a good lesson for us to learn more about.
Let's go to Ed from Idaho. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Good. Yourself, Dr. Stan?
Doing great. Great. Are you listening on the Internet, or are you just calling from the earlier program?
No, I'm listening on the net.
Good.
I have a question for Mr. Sardi, and that is, my dad's 82 years old. He's anemic. He has diabetes, and he doesn't get around too well. Is there anything? He gets cold from the anemia, I guess. Is
right.
there anything
right.
that can help him?
You bet. Well, of course, the body's naturally withholding the iron so that he'll live, because iron will feed tumors and bacteria and so on. So the anemic state, of course, if you let it go too far and his hemoglobin drops down like to 4 and less, then he won't have much of an immune system. Now, what I would do in this case, you might want to talk to me or get a hold of me on the Internet, but there are ways to get an iron pill into somebody, particularly certain types of iron, and then you can do that. And you do it maybe once or twice in a week, not every day. And then you follow it a few hours later with the rice bran to kind of chelate out the excess. And that way he gets a little iron, but he doesn't overdose on it. And, of course, that's just something you learn how to do. You might want to get a hold of me after the program tonight. Go to my website, askbillsardi.com. Find some way of sending me an email or something. I hesitate to give out numbers on the phone because then I get 4,000 phone calls and I can't handle them all. So we try to sort them out on the Internet if we can, and then I'll call you. So,
you go ahead and go to his website, askbillsardi.com.
Sure will.
Okay, thanks so much, Colin. Ed.
Thank you both.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Ed calling from Idaho, and we're just about out of time. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, I just want to say we never have enough time to underscore how wonderful the Bible is, how advanced it was for its time. Modern medicine is only confirming it to us. I'm thankful to God for His holy word, and I'm thankful for this radio show. I hope all the listeners continue to support it, and as we do, in a sacrificial way, to make sure that Radio Liberty stays on the air.
God bless you. Thank you so very much for all your help, and we'll look forward to having you on again in the very near future.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. It's been a fascinating, fascinating time, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. And, of course, this is the time I have to remind you again that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you believe in what we're doing, if you believe, of course, that this information is important, as well as,
of course,
the information on what's happening from our society, the moral breakdown, and, of course, the very real problems this country has, because we've turned away from God and His message. Why, of course, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, we'll send it to you. Pray for America. Pray for revival, our leaders. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again. Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.